Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 28 to 31.
And glory to God.
Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, even though we are here in this nice church, I'll begin with a little story of when I was in a slightly wilder place. A few years ago, my brother and I went on a five-day tramp near Wanaka. On one of those days, we crossed a trackless mountain range in driving rain. We had to put on several layers of clothing, but still got soaked to the skin. So we were quite glad when we finally found shelter from the storm in an earthen floor hut beside a lake. The storm passed overnight and the next day dawned in brilliant sunshine, so that we decided to dry our clothes on the hut roof there and then before we would go on. The lake also looked quite inviting for a swim, but after a while we realized that only one of us could enter the lake at a time. That was because a group of four kea had taken interest in our clothes. We needed to guard them against the ever-inquisitive beaks. As soon as the clothes were dry, we got them into the safety of the hut. While the presence of the kea meant that we had to be quite vigilant, it was actually quite fun being with these birds. Their antics were interesting to watch, and when they flew around, their brilliant colors were quite inspiring. The kea hung around for most of the time at the hut that morning, and they departed to the high alpine peaks as we walked further down the valley. But reflecting on that encounter with those animals, I actually quite liked it. It was really fun. And in several places throughout the Bible, these wild animals are described as having a special relationship with God. It's in the Bible we read particularly about animals beyond the use and close management of humans that are God's special concern. But God cares for and rejoices in all creation. God watches the little sparrow, a bird that maybe in the great sphere of things isn't that significant, but nevertheless is important as well. It's still clear, however, that humans also have some responsibility for both the wild animals and the animals living around us. We are called to look after them, or at least the habitat they live in. I think that responsibility is greatest for domestic animals, in particular for pets. After all, we have a different relationship with them. We as humans get to know them and they get to know us. There is affection and loyalty. But we've also put pets in a situation of dependence on humans. And to an extent, that dependence makes animals vulnerable and therefore open to abuse as well. Across the ages, there have not only been good interactions between humans and companion animals. In the worst cases, humans have even been cruel. So in our reading from the book of Proverbs, the way we relate to animals is seen as an outworking of good human character. A righteous person cares for the needs of animals, but even the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Well, we all know that there are some really mean people that nevertheless are nice to their animals, but there's a strong correlation between how someone treats an animal and how that person treats other humans. Caring for animals is a sign that humans can have the interests of somebody else apart from themselves at heart. It is a respect for other living beings. And so in the book of Proverbs, caring for animals is set alongside speaking the truth, encouragement, working for peace, and calmness. The book urges us to let our character be transformed so that we care more for animals and humans alike. Now, over the centuries, this call for empathy with other creatures has been taken up by people of faith again and again. So, particularly in the early 19th century, evangelical Christians took up the cause to reform people by making cruelty to animals unacceptable. They saw cruelty towards animals even as an outworking of sin. For example, the Reverend Arthur Broom is often regarded as the founder of the SPCA. At that point, Queen Victoria hadn't given the R to it yet, so it was even in England, it was the SPCA. The Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Reverend Broom, like other prominent members of that society, for example, William Wilberforce, were also active in the movement to abolish slavery. And for them, both of these causes were linked together from a Christian perspective, because first of all, they said, it was the task of Christians to help the weak and those who suffered. And secondly, if we treat animals or slaves badly, they saw that as a sin that not only affected those who suffered under that maltreatment and those who inflicted the suffering, but also a sin for society as a whole, which allowed that to take place. And so they said it was the task of Christians to bring God's light into a dark world, to bring change so that evil would not have such an influence. And that also meant changing society so that people would treat the animals better. Jesus came to lead people from sin to life, from darkness to light, from evil to goodness. It is through acknowledging our own shortcomings and inviting in God's goodness that we can also grow and be part of God's care for all creation. We know that God cares for all creatures, in particular also animals. If we care for them, we also reflect something of God's care in this world. Amen.